We're told that the great progress in the world of travel and moving around the world is the sharing economy. Since its inception 8 years ago, Airbnb has been proud of the international community it's inspired. And we hear that again and again, but the ugly side of community attitudes have also surfaced. This month, the company introduced a new inclusivity clause for both users and hosts in an attempt to stamp out discrimination that happens based on race, religion, and sexual orientation. Will it work, and should the company have anticipated the need for this earlier? We're going to speak to a couple of people who have first-hand experience of grappling with this with Airbnb. But before we do, we're going to hear briefly from a spokesperson from Airbnb itself.
Well, earlier this year, we heard from a number of people who were a part of our community who were having difficulty booking a listing, in many cases because of their race. We took a long, hard look at this issue, and we conducted a 90-day review of every facet of our platform and announced a number of changes that we are making to ensure that the Airbnb community is fair for all. One of those is the institution of the community commitment, which is a simple reminder and a requirement that everyone who wants to use Airbnb must certify that they will treat folks equally and with dignity and respect. We wanted to be very clear that discrimination has no place in the Airbnb community, and the community commitment is one step and only one step that we are taking to help ensure that we meet that goal.
So talk me through the kind of logistics of this new clause. I mean, could hosts be banned from the site if they're shown to be discriminatory? And how difficult would it be for the company to prove discriminations occurred?
Well, hosts can absolutely be banned if they discriminate against someone because of their race or other factors. We do not tolerate discrimination. We have a number of tools that we use to help ensure we enforce our anti-discrimination policies. In some cases, there have been sad and incredibly regrettable instances of discrimination where the message threads and the conversations have been clearly discriminatory and wildly inappropriate. Those folks have been banned from our site. Whenever we hear about an instance of discrimination, we do everything we can to investigate. We do everything we can to ensure that the person who believes they have been discriminated against can find a place to stay. In addition to the community commitment, we also launched a policy called Open Doors. And Open Doors is pretty simple. If you think that you have been discriminated against when trying to book an Airbnb listing, we will do everything in our power to make sure you have a comparable place to stay. But then we investigate and we take appropriate action. And, you know, these cases are different. And frankly, we are quite fortunate that these cases are rare. We have a large global community in 191 countries, and these kinds of cases don't happen very often. But our view is that one case is one too many, and we're going to keep doing everything that we can to try and stop them.
One issue that's been raised by critics is the prominence of personal photographs. Is that something Airbnb are reviewing? Would you consider moving to a model where people's photos aren't shown until after the booking's accepted?
This is something that we looked at in quite great detail. And we believe that photos are an important part of our site, but we also believe that they are only one part of an individual's identity. The reviews that you receive on Airbnb, information about what kind of particular listing that you're looking for, there are all kinds of ways for people to learn about a host and a guest on our platform. So we are looking at ways and experimenting with ways to de-emphasize the prominence of photos. Ultimately, we believe that you shouldn't have to hide who you are in order to book a place to stay. But we have definitely heard this feedback, and we are experimenting with some different ideas that would help reduce the prominence of photos in the booking process.
Can I just ask you, Harvard professor Ben Edelman conducted his own study by setting up fake Airbnb accounts to see if discrimination against black guests existed. And he found that it did. And I'm interested, there have been press reports that Ben's Airbnb account was suspended as a result of his research and only reinstated after an inquiry from a journalist. Is there anything to that? Does Airbnb have a comment on that?
Well, I think some of those reports were a touch misleading. We have found that one indicator of fraud or abuse on our platform is when a user creates multiple accounts. Typically, these folks are not creating multiple accounts for research purposes. They're creating them for significantly more nefarious purposes. So we have automated tools that immediately suspend accounts when we detect that multiple accounts have been created. It's my understanding that that's what happened in this case, that our automated tools, which which are designed to prevent fraud, kicked in and suspended his account. You're absolutely right that his account has been reinstated. But to the broader point, we have worked with researchers from a number, both in-house researchers and researchers from different academic institutions who share our commitment to making the Airbnb community fair for everyone. And we welcome that. We want to continue to work with academics and others who share an interest in this. And we're going to continue to do research, and we're going to continue to welcome feedback.
Nick Pappas, thanks for your time. Nick Pappas is a global spokesperson for Airbnb. He joined us down the line from Washington, D.C. And now we're joined by Professor Ben Edelman, Associate Professor Ben Edelman from Harvard Business School, who's mentioned just then and conducted some of that research. Ben, thanks for joining us. Tell us, first of all, about the studies you've done on Airbnb. You've done two, so maybe let's focus on the second one to begin with. What did you set out to find out?
Sure. So the goal of the second study was to explore the problem that we worried African-American guests might face on Airbnb. African-Americans, of course, are the largest minority in the United States, and so they were the natural group for us to focus on. We thought it would be tough for an African-American guest to manage to get the booking that he or she wanted through Airbnb, where the guest's face is so prominent in the request to a host, and also the guest's name. You know, in American culture these days, you can make an inference about a person's race based on their name in many instances. So we created, as you mentioned, fake accounts. We created 20 fake white names and 20 fake black names, a mix of men and women, and had them apply to a total of 6,000 different hosts. What we found was that the African-American guests were told they couldn't stay at the property, and the white guests were told they could, with a difference of 16% between those two groups. So all that's to say, things are kind of tough for African-Americans on Airbnb.
16% is not insignificant. Were you able to extrapolate further information from that, or was that clean an exercise to just identify who was selected and who wasn't?
Well, even the white guests are told no plenty. And so when a black guest is told no, they could be told no because the property is truly unavailable. Or maybe they're being told no because the property is not being offered by that host to this guest who is or seems to be African American. As to the specific methods, who it is who's doing the discrimination, why they're doing it, you know, we didn't want to bug individual hosts too often. It's not that we were sending 100 messages to one host. No, in fact, we sent a maximum of one message to a given host in order to reduce the burden on them. And so what we end up with is an inference. When we made 3,000 African-American requests, we got yeses 16% less often than we made the 3,000 white requests.
Wow. So that was the sample size, 3,000?
Yeah, you know, we're fortunate in that I actually wrote a piece of software that logged into the Airbnb site and would submit the requests, and then we'd go through the responses in Gmail to look at what the various guests were told. Along the way, it turned out that the white guests were being told yes more quickly than the black guests were being told no, and we can say that with certainty because we have the exact timestamp when the robot sent the inquiry and the exact timestamp when the host sent the reply. Amazing what you can do with a computer and a little bit of creativity these days.
Amazing. And as we just heard, your account was taken offline for a bit afterwards, and the Airbnb response suggested that was in part a kind of automated response to the robot thing. What was their response to your research beyond that? Were they receptive to hear your findings?
Yes. So two things. Number one, on the account, you know, they've suspended me not once but twice. And when I write into customer service, no one replies to me. Again, not once but twice. And I have all the emails to that effect and have distributed them to journalists who asked about it. The most recent one, they suspended my account 15 months after I did the work. Whatever it was that they detected, you would think they could have resolved it to their satisfaction the first time and without a 15-month delay. Okay. But as to their response to the work more generally, you know, we first posted this working paper in December 2015, and Airbnb's response was kind of sluggish. They didn't really say that this was a problem they thought was a top priority. They said that discrimination occurs in all marketplaces. It's a tragedy, but it's not exactly their fault. It's more the host's fault. Incidentally, I thought that was totally off base. It's Airbnb that decided where to show the pictures and how big to make them. It's Airbnb that decided that when a guest applies to a host, the host gets to see the guest's name. Why should that be? Why shouldn't it be sort of anonymous, just like when you're buying something from Amazon or Amazon Marketplace? Right. Anyway, Airbnb wasn't planning to change anything until the Airbnb While Black movement arose on Twitter. dozens of African-American users, maybe hundreds, complaining about this problem. Suddenly Airbnb had a real PR issue on their hands, and that's when they took action.
Rowan Gilkes, I might bring you in here. You're one person who's reported discrimination from potential hosts on Airbnb because of the color of your skin. Tell us about your experience.
Sure. My experience was just like Ben just described. I wanted to request a property that I liked in Idaho. And when I requested a date that I wanted, I was told the property was not available. I requested a second set of dates and was told the same thing. And then I had one of my white friends request those same dates and they were approved instantly. And so it's really like, I kind of found out that my experience there, you know, I wrote about it on social media and I woke up to 2,000 emails, a little bit more than 2,000 emails, many of which were people sharing the exact same story or very similar stories based on race and, Muslim sounding names in quotation marks and so on. So I saw that this was really a systemic problem and not just my personal situation.
I mean, that's a huge response to sharing your story. And as you say, social media has seen a kind of huge outpouring of anecdotal stories of a similar sort. I mean, do you accept the line from Airbnb that it's relatively rare, or do you think this is an incredibly widespread, even kind of ubiquitous experience?
I think it is among people of color. It's something that is so ubiquitous that it's like a running joke. So folks joke about, you know, what names they're going to use, about borrowing their friends' photos, about fake mustaches. It's like a running joke among people of color, and you can see, like Ben referred to Airbnb While Black on Twitter. And Medium stories and all these other articles that came out is something that I think is very pervasive among people of color. They have difficulties. I spoke to one guy that has never been able to book an Airbnb, and he's tried like 12 times. This is a real issue.
Yeah. So Rowan, you've responded to this by setting up a rival site to Airbnb, which you've called Inclusive with a double N, which is, I love a pun name for anything that makes me happy straight away. And you're formally launching that later this month. Why did you feel this was necessary to do? What does your site aim to do differently?
So I felt it was necessary, you know, based on just two reasons. One reason was the response I got from Airbnb when I reported my problem. I felt it was, you know, dismissive, and it felt like they were really distancing themselves from this being a real issue. And then the second reason was just seeing how systemic the problem was and how many people were in the same situation that I was in. So with those two things, I set out to say, okay, how can we build a platform that is different? And funny enough, we researched the studies that were out there, including the one that Ben just discussed, and we looked at some of their recommendations, and some things were very, very simple. Like, for example, just not showing the photo and not showing the name of the guests until after the booking is confirmed. Very, very simple thing. And that, along with some other changes around how availability works and so on, we've implemented on our platform, and we think we're going to really make a difference on people of color being able to travel and see the world without these issues.
Great to talk to you both today.
Thank you very much.
Associate Professor Ben Edelman from Harvard Business School and Rowan Gilkes, founder of Inclusive, which will be launched later this month. And if you're in Australia and you feel you've been discriminated by potential hosts on Airbnb or similar sites due to your race, religion, or any other reason, we would love to hear from you. Do get in touch. You're listening to Blueprint for Living here on RN.